hieroglyphics there. If you know, you know. Joining me on the line right now is Henry Young. He's the founder and CEO of Avari Research. Henry, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Ian. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
I've been trying to make something happen here in New Orleans, and so far New Orleans is telling me to kick rocks. There is a local brewery here that is much beloved. It's called Urban South Brewery, and they make a beer called Paradise Park. And it's a cute little can. It's like sort of like seafoam green. It's got flamingos on it. Everybody loves Paradise Park. It's quaffable. It's inexpensive. It's the Miller Lite killer. So I'm enthusiastic about it because, you know, you're supporting a local business. So I got tired of going up to the bar and saying, I would like a Paradise Park. And I just started saying Parky because it's shorter and it's easier and it sounds cooler. But it hasn't caught on. I've been telling all my friends, hey, man, next time you go to the bar, order a Parky. We're not ordering Paradise Parks anymore. We're ordering Parkies. Hey, Coleman, pick me up a Parky on your way home. Hey, man, let's go to the park and have a Parky. It has not caught on. And the reason I've asked you here today is to help explain why. How do you make a nickname stick? How does a viral nickname become part of the zeitgeist without anyone ever giving permission for that? Like, the culture decides, not the brands. Why do some of these phrases, these nicknames, why do they go viral overnight while even good ones like mine just kind of die quietly?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I recognize that it can be a lot easier to order a Parky than a Paradise Park.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, I think the thing about great nicknames is that they just have no friction. They're easy to guess what they stand for. They're natural to use in conversation, and people sort of come on board with it because of those factors, because it's so easy.
So, okay, so you agree that Parky is a good nickname. On a scale of it could still happen to stop trying immediately, where do you think I stand?
I'd say somewhere in the middle, where it definitely could use a nickname, because Paradise Park is pretty long. But to me, Parky reminds me of the word poop. Right? Like an endearing nickname for your
Pookie?
For your significant other. Yeah,
Pookie. Give me a Pookie. Give me a 12-pack of Pookies. Okay, so...
That's a cute nickname, right?
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
for a
good.
Beer, I don't know if you're going for cute. Is that fair to say?
No, I'm not going for cute. I guess I would concede that Parky is kind of cutesy, but not cute. But I don't know. Sure. I just think it sounds so much more authoritative just to lean up to the bar and say, hey, man, give me a Jamie and a Parky, you know, rather than a Jameson and a Paradise Park. But I don't know. I guess I'm just too close to my own genius, Henry. But anyway, all this stuff about Parky got me kind of thinking about names like Kleenex and Band-Aid and Coke. Like, when we say get me a Kleenex, we're not talking about Kleenex brand Kleenex. We just mean tissue out of a box. It doesn't matter who manufactures it. If I say Kleenex, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Same with Band-Aid. The Band-Aid could be made by Johnson & Johnson, or it could be made by Volkswagen. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows what I'm talking about when I ask for a Band-Aid. So how do we go from that? Like, is that just dumb luck that those brands became sort of the catch-all meaning for every product in their field, even ones that they don't make? How did that happen?
I think for them, it's a lot of luck, because they're legacy brands, right? You know, Kleenex was one of the first companies to introduce products like that. Same with Band-Aid, same with Google for searching stuff up, same with Escalator for escalators. I think part of it's definitely dumb luck, and part of it is just, does it really make the user experience easier? Parky's a nickname that definitely makes it easier, right? You don't want to say Paradise Park.
Are there any real patterns to what sticks other than whoever got there first?
Absolutely. I think something I have been thinking about ever since you said it with Parky is there are nicknames for alcoholic beverage brands. Like, the first one that comes to mind is Twisted Teas, are often referred to as Twees.
Really?
And I think... Yeah.
Well, how come Twisted Teas gets to be Twees and Paradise Park? I'm incensed, Henry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's some nonsense. All right, keep going on. There's Twisted. I've never heard anybody order a Twee before. I don't know. In a New Orleans bar, that might get you something you're not looking for. But you were saying Twisted Tees became Tweez. What else?
Well, there's a pattern to it, right? When I think of folks that might order a parkie, obviously I'm coming from a young generation here. And so I think about fraternities and sororities and how beverage brands are maybe a part of that culture. I think about how Twee came after the two terms Taos and Baus, which stand for top house and bottom house on a campus. So the best fraternities, the best sororities are Taos, top house, and the worst are Baus, bottom house. That same abbreviation carried over to Twee, Twisted Tea. And so I think if you follow the patterns, yeah, did you know that?
I had no idea, and now that I know, that's so illuminating. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, great. Oh, we're all learning so much, Henry. Keep going.
Yeah, well, I think that just goes back to reducing the friction, right? You want to make the name as easy as possible to remember, so fit it into the way nicknaming conventions work now, and you want to make it easy to understand that it stands for Paradise Park. And so if you go with, you know, the idea of the Twee, P-Dice might be something that sticks with young people.
P-Dice. Give me a Jameson and a P-Dice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would give it a chance. It's no Parky, but obviously what I'm doing isn't working and you're the marketing expert, so maybe I should shut the hell up. Okay.
Well, look, the other thing I'll say is you can have different nicknames for the same product. And even your own name. Like, think about, my name's Henry, but my people in my parents' generation call me Hen, and people who are a lot younger tend to call me H. They have the same thing. Both stand for Henry, but both are preferred over Henry.
Whoa. Okay. So Coleman, my producer, just reminded me that Natural Light became
Natty Light.
So that had to happen kind of organically, right? Because who wants to go up to a bar and order Natural Light? That sounds ridiculous.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
How lucky for the manufacturer that the consumers figured out a cooler way to order their product. Like, they didn't have to. Like, it makes me think about Fireball. Like, people don't really remember this, but Fireball used to be called like Spencer McGillicuddy's Cinnamon Whiskey or something like that. And that's a terrible name for a liquor brand. So they just changed the packaging and started calling it Fireball. And next thing you know, it's displaced Jaeger and SoCo and Lime as like the go-to shot at bars all over the country. So,
sure.
I mean, these brands must feel pretty thankful when something like that happens to their product. Like, their consumers take ownership over the branding and the manufacturers like don't have to do anything. That must happen more often than we realize.
Oh, definitely. I think it happens all the time. And a good part of it is social media, right? A good part of it is that when somebody does come up with a great idea, a great nickname, it can spread very, very fast now. And you just made me think of another one, by the way, for Bush Light Apple called Bapple.
No, I've never heard of any of these. You know about Bapple?
There you go.
Coleman? My God. Okay. I'm going to go to the bar tonight and just discreetly eavesdrop over every conversation that happens where somebody comes up and they order a Twee or a Bapple. I mean, maybe I should be going to like a college bar because they seem like they're the ones who are really doing the legwork here.
They would definitely have it there for sure. And I think Bapple, the brand, really played into it there because it's only available in the fall.
So, Henry, this is Coleman, the producer. I have to ask, how many nicknames come from like natural, societal, you know, verbal, and how many of them were actually like, they were like the brand owner was in a room somewhere and they was trying to decide on what nickname to give a product and try to sneak it in there as if it was natural and organic, not knowing it was completely manufactured.
Excellent question.
That is a great question. And, you know, I think very few. I think you can tell by the marketing material a lot of the time, right? Like, Coca-Cola always refers to their product as Coca-Cola. They're never going to call it Coke, but all of us call it Coke.
I think, they would say, like, I feel like I've seen Share a Coke somewhere. Like, haven't I? Yeah, it's like Share a Coke with Jordan, Share a Coke with Coleman, like on the 20-ounce bottles. But that was like a very specific campaign. They don't do that all the time.
You're right. And, you know, I think it goes back to that idea of the brand can suggest a nickname, but if you push it too hard and it doesn't stick, you've really dug yourself into a little bit of a hole there.
Yes.
So I think what the smart brand does is they put a nickname out there, maybe with a specific marketing campaign like Coke, like Share a Coke. And then if the consumer adopts it, it'll spread naturally on social media. And if you keep doing that enough times, you'll eventually find a winner, I'd say.
Well, I can't tell you the number of times I felt like a moron walking up to the bar and just casually being like, hey, yeah, good to see you, Mike. Let's see. What do you want, honey? Okay, she's going to have a White Claw, and I'll have a Jameson and a Parkey. And I just play it totally cool, and I just act like it's the most normal thing in the world. And 99 out of 100 times they say, sorry, what did you just order? And like squint at me like I got horns growing out of my head. So what do I do? What's the solution for me, Henry? Do I go back to Urban South and say, hey, guys, I got a $1 billion idea that I'm giving you just for free here. Just put up one billboard that says, you know, give me a Parkey or something. I mean, what's the path forward for me in this?
Oh, I mean, my gut is thinking this obviously needs a nickname, and maybe it's Parkey, maybe it's P-Dice, who knows what it could be, but I would make a competition out of it. Maybe, yeah, put up one billboard, put up a few billboards, let people ask for whatever they think a Paradise Park should be, and let the bartender decide if that's an appropriate nickname.
Okay, so I've got a live text-in line here at the radio station, so I'm going to ask you, if you're listening right now, text me on the Oakland Art Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870, and you tell me what nickname for Paradise Park you think is better than Parkey. If you can come up with something better than Parkey and it sticks, then you win, you know, imaginary fake radio points. But I don't think anyone's going to come up with anything better than Parkey. Like, somebody texted in and said, oh, shoot, where'd it go? Here's a text that says, sorry, Ian, Parkey's not cool for a grown man ordering a beer. Oh, I beg to differ. We disagree about a lot of things in talk radio, but this is really getting my hackles up. They say it's not cool for a grown man ordering a beer. I would suggest Para Park. P-A-R-R-A-P-A-R-K. Okay, so you're Avari Research. You're the founder and CEO of this firm. What's your top line reaction to Para Park?
Well, my top line reaction is let's encourage everybody to come up with a different nickname, and then by default, every time the bartender hears something they don't recognize, they'll just give you a Paradise Park.
Urban South is like furiously writing this down right now. That's brilliant.
Wait, I have an idea.
What?
Instead of calling it a noun, call it a verb, like, oh, I'm about to go park right here. Or if you want two of them, can I double park?
That's, yeah, take me to paradise, bartender.
Take me to paradise.
Yeah, make it a verb instead of a noun. That might work better. Park me.
That is so funny. Okay, yeah, park me. That already sounds like something we do, that we order a drink. We'd like beer me or claw me or twee me. I don't know, right? Okay, at what point does this backfire on the brand? Like you said just a moment ago, if you try too hard to make it happen, then it becomes kind of cringe and it dies faster, right? Have you seen that happen before?
Definitely. Yeah, I think when you try to force something to be culturally relevant, it often backfires. It's definitely a process that has to be somewhat natural. And so that's why I think the best approach is for brands to suggest, for them to put nicknames out there, but ultimately you don't want something to be adopted mainstream unless people are fond of it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to end up with some people adopting something that's not good for your brand. So it sounds like the real lesson here is that, you know, the culture doesn't always reward effort. You know, it rewards repetition and timing and virality and alliteration. 100%. And if you can do that, then you're in good shape. All right, Henry. Well, maybe, you know, maybe we changed some hearts and minds here today. We'll take a break in just a minute. But I'm curious, and I'm asking people this kind of all week, at Avari Research, what are you looking to in 2026? Like, if I'm in an elevator with you and you say, hey, what do you do? And I say, I'm in talk radio. What do you do? And Henry Young says, I'm the founder and CEO of Avari Research. And this year we're going to be looking at
connecting, especially with young folks on social media. I think it's a real pain when your favorite influencer does something that's very obviously an ad read. And I think there's a way to make advertising feel a lot less abrasive, a lot less ad-like. And so we're working that.
Okay, well, in that vein, I'm going to enjoy a Paradise Park with a po' boy that I drown in blue plate mayonnaise, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Nice speaking with you, Henry. Really, really nice to meet you. Thank you for your time, your work, and your way, and Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year. All right. Take care, brother. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm curious, what's the best example of a nickname or a phrase that you've seen catch on, like, without anyone planning it? Has anyone else ever tried to make something like this happen and it just never worked? Or maybe it did work. I don't know. I know there's a lot of you listening right there with a lot of different experiences. I'll also read through some of the suggestions for Paradise Park that people think are better than Parky. I thank you for your participation. We'll see if any of them rise to the top. But just between you and me and the wallpaper, I doubt it. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back.